But the main part that the Shema does is it does a tikkun. And we talked about before the Avon of Karet. Karet, like I told you before, it's like a rope that connects our soul to God. And every one of the mitzvot in the Torah corresponds to one of these fibers. If a person keeps the Torah, then his rope is 100% connected. The person starts cutting pieces of the rope, then he starts to get disconnected. The problem starts is that with some acts, the whole rope gets chopped off. 36 sins in the Torah. Two are positive, circumcision and the Pesach sacrifice, Korban Pesach. Now, circumcision is not taking your child and making necessarily the circumcision. That's just the external part of it. It's guarding the Brit. It's not touching the Brit. This is the most Brit Kodesh. This is the most important thing. This is a positive mitzvah. The positive mitzvot are much more powerful than the negative mitzvot. And then 34 of them are negative mitzvot. Now, half of them have nothing to do with us. It's just eating from the sacrifices and stuff like that. But the ones that are related to us is Pesach. A person eats a crumb like this of chametz on Pesach, v'nechreta nefeshei. One little crumb. And it's not only eating chametz, it's owning chametz. Same thing with Yom Kippur. A person works on Yom Kippur, eats on Yom Kippur, desecrates Yom Kippur, karet, nechreta nefeshei. All the forbidden relations. The Torah is very particular with all these relations, every one of them. And Shabbat. These are the main things that have to do with it. Now, any person that didn't do one of these, right now... Shomer Negira is not karet if you just touch it like this. The reason, one of the many reasons that you keep Shomer Negira is that if you first you touch, you're not gonna, if you don't make boundaries, then first you shake the hand. Then from a handshake, it becomes you sit together. Then from here, it's a hug, then a kiss, then before you know it, then you, chas v'shalom, you fall into a sin. The karet is when a man is with a woman together when they're not supposed to be. Only you're only allowed to be with your wife, and when the time that she's clean after she was in the mikveh, after she had her cycle. Any other time a man touches a woman or sperm comes out of his body, this is karet. And sometimes even a husband and a wife are together and sperm can come out. A husband and wife are together, and after she's in the mikveh, she's kosher, everything is good. One drop came out, problem. Now, it's not as severe as in a man going and doing all sorts of acts, but it still has what's called yenika lachitzonim, that the external part, the unholiness, sucks it. The Zohar explains that, you know, there's the Samech Mem. Samech Mem is, you know, in our simple language, is called the devil, the Satan. He has a name, we don't say his name. Samech Mem is his acronym. He has a wife. And we also don't say her name. Her name is Lamed Yud Lamed Yud Taf. She's the female part of him. He's the male part of it. She, every time a man and a woman together, doesn't matter kosher, not kosher, husband, not husband, she stands there. She's just waiting for drops to come out. And she collects the drops and puts it inside her and gets pregnant. And she brings down demons to the world. That's what the Zohar explains. So if a married couple... Kosher, Jews, she went to the mikveh. Everything is clean. She's not nida. She's not in her cycle. One drop comes out by mistake. This lamed yud taf, she takes this drop. So much more so. That's already in kedusha. It comes from like a factory of kedusha. She pregnants herself and brings down to the world a demon. So much more so when it's not in a holy way. She goes and collects all these drops, and she gets pregnant, and demons come down to the world. So when you see ISIS, you can kind of relate where they're coming from. They're not humans. It's not a human thing to cut somebody's head off, or to put somebody on fire, or, you know, look at any army, soldiers in the world, they kill the enemy. They don't do all sorts of, you know, demonic things. That's not a normal thing. So then, you know, people say, where did this ISIS come from? Yeah, there's demons. They come down to the world. They get dressed into bodies. Half the people, you know, that are like that, you see that they're not really human. So even a married couple, chas v'shalom, can fail with zera levatala. One drop, two drops come out. There's a lot of laws in that. But we're talking right now when it's not done b'kedusha, when a man goes and does whatever he wants, well, with himself, with not himself, with girlfriends, all this stuff. This is a severe, severe sin. Not only that it's the power of it is karet, the result is karet, A man can do in one act, 3-4 kritot, in one shot. Not with his wife, while she's in her cycle, and she's not Jewish, and in one shot, the damage that is done is not fathomable. Now the thing is that when the person is alive in the body, he doesn't feel that. Person now can go, desecrate Shabbat, does whatever he wants. He's not going to feel nothing. Nothing. One time, one guy came to our house on Shabbat, and I was, you know, telling him, you know, you can't light the lights, turn the lights on and off. And he's like, the famous argument, where does it say in the Torah, you can't turn the light off? You know, and he was to try to annoy me or to make the point, he was turning the light on and off. No, on, off, on, off. See, nothing happens. In my mind, I'm like, you must be some type of a rare idiot. if this is what you do and you think nothing's happening, imagine now, I told him, let me tell you what happens right now when you're playing with the light like that. There's once, it's a story, it's a joke, but just to make the point, they took two soldiers and they put them in a bunker under the ground, 300 feet in the ground. And they told him, you see this red button? Don't press it. If you press this red button, that launches the nuclear bomb. Don't touch it till we give you the order. The whole dashboard has buttons. Okay, we don't touch the buttons. Now they're sitting in this bunker for months. They're bored out of their mind. So one soldier tells his friend, let's press it. Let's press it. So the other one says, are you out of your mind? They told us not to. He doesn't care, come on, let's press it. So the second soldier is like, no, they told us there's orders. They told us not to press it, that there's going to be repercussions and consequences. We can't press it. So the other guy says, no, come on, man, you believe them? Nonsense. Kol shtiyot, it's nonsense. They're fooling us. It's not really real. Let's press it. And they're arguing. At the end, the first one wins. And they press the button. Shh, nothing happens. He tells them, you see? Nothing happened. Let's press another one. Press it. Psh. Nothing happens. They start pressing the buttons. Nothing. Shh. Quiet down there. But they're like 300 feet under the ground. They don't hear nothing. The missiles are... 4th of July. The whole world is nuked. And they're under the ground. They don't hear nothing. That's what happens when a person does these severe sins in this world. Turns the light on and off. Nothing happens. He's 300 feet in the ground. He doesn't hear. He doesn't see what's going on. So a person lives his life, his whole life, doesn't feel that his soul is chopped off. Now there's a question, if the soul is chopped off, how does the body function? How does the person is still alive? Now Rizal explains that a person can go 40, 50 years with karet, not a problem. The impression that the soul left in the body, this is called reshimu, the impression. You know, you put your hand sometimes in mud, it has the shape of your hand. The impression the soul does on the body lets the body go for another 40, 50 years. The person doesn't feel anything. The only advantage is, you know, our soul has 10 levels corresponding to the 10 sefirot. When a person does avon of karet, he cuts all 9. The first 9. The top sefira, he doesn't cut. Doesn't affect it. This is called sefirat haketel, the crown. Why? Because Avraham Avinu made a deal with Hashem. He told him, take all 9, leave one. Leave one sefira. Why? So the Jew can do tshuva. Funny enough, you see that the same letters of ketel and karet are the same letters. When a person, chas v'shalom, does avon of karet, desecrates Shabbat, eats chametz on Pesach, all the forbidden relations, he cuts the connection, but he only cuts the first 9 sefirot. The highest sefira, that you can't touch. You can't touch it. But that allows you to do tshuva from this high sefira. That's why to do tshuva for Avon Karet is so hard, because you have to climb 9 sefirot, 9 levels, to reach that level in order to pull down life back into the neshama. Now, a lot of people are mistaken. Karet goes on the nefesh. Doesn't go on the neshama. For sure doesn't go on the chaya and yechida. It goes only on the nefesh. If you see in the Torah, it says, v'nichreta ha-nefesh. Not the neshama. You have to understand that the nefesh, ruach, neshama, chaya, yechida, they get dressed inside each other like cups. You know, sometimes you pile up these plastic cups, one goes inside the other. It's they get dressed one inside the other. So the nefesh is a very the karet is a very external part because it goes only on the nefesh, but the inside doesn't get chopped off.
So there's 10 levels of nefesh,
or just we're not going to even get into it. But yeah, every level, the nefesh has 10 sefirot, the ruach has 10 sefirot, the nefesh shama has 10 sefirot. It's much more complicated. Because even in the level of the nefesh, there's a yechida of the nefesh, the chaya of the nefesh, the neshama of the nefesh, the ruach of the nefesh. We're not going to get into that now because it's much more complicated. It's like an onion, so many layers. The most external one is the nefesh, and the nefesh is how we function in this world. Only with the nefesh, the neshama, and the ruach are still in the body. But the main part that we interact with is the nefesh. All our main avodah is in the nefesh. We know that in our body we have a nefesh elokit, that is the godly part of the nefesh, and we have the nefesh behemit, the animal part of the nefesh. Behemit comes from the word behema, an animal. Now, not that it's an animal, but it has the character traits of an animal. An animal just wants to eat, sleep, procreate, fight. Also, all these animalistic character traits. So you have in your body two entities, a nefesh behemit, nefesh elokit. They're constantly fighting with each other. Your job in this world is to overpower the nefesh behemit, to subdue it, to overpower it. Now, most of your functioning in this world is through the nefesh. So when chas v'shalom a person does lavon of karet, the karet goes on the nefesh. It doesn't go on the neshama. It doesn't affect the neshama. It doesn't affect the ruach. It goes only on the nefesh. But since you are functioning on the level of nefesh, then that's where the damage is. The problem with karet, which a lot of people don't understand, our souls are like a tree, goes into branches, into branches, into branches, into branches. So if a person does avon karet, it affects all his branches underneath him. So if a father does something, it affects all his kids and the grandkids, the great-grandkids. So if a person now is 60 years old and he has kids, grandkids and grandkids, 70 years old, and he does avon of karet, it's affecting all the tree, everybody. That's how severe it is. Now to start fixing it, that's not easy. Most of the people who become religious, that's mainly the tikkun they have to do. You don't do tikkun because you wore woolen linen. This is a very simple prohibition. It's called shatnez. Little things, the tikkun is chik-chak, you do tshuva, you stop doing it, comes Yom Kippur, washes it all off there, nigmar ha-sipur. Story's over. The problem is with all the severe sins. There's a Gemara in Masechet Yoma that it says that for all the positive mitzvot that you don't do, a person does tshuva, that's it, cleans it. For the negative prohibitions that a person does, a person does tshuva, the tshuva puts the sin on hold, comes Yom Kippur, washes off the sin. But for all the sins of mitah bidei shamayim, what is called death by the heavenly court, or karet, the tshuva and Yom Kippur puts the sin on hold, now the person has to go through what's called yisurim, hardship, suffering, and that starts cleaning off the mess, all these stains. But even that doesn't fix the avon of karet, it just removes the stain. But the impression of something missing, that doesn't do it. So a lot of people do tshuva. They go through Yisurim, they go through the process. Yisurim is hardship, it's suffering. And this hardship can be anything, any little thing. Our sages say in the Gemara that even if you put your hand into your pocket and you had the intention to take out a dollar and a quarter came out, that's Yisurim. That's how the sages say that's what Yisurim. Relating to our day of age, you drive around, I drove now around the block here, 30 minutes looking for parking. That's Yisurim. Yeah. You come home at night, 2 o'clock in the morning, you can't find parking. And then you see the parking over there, and you start driving fast, and somebody zit goes in. That's Yisurim. Every little thing that annoys you is Yisurim. You want to go on the date, you have a zit this big here, kacha. You know? All these little things, I'm joking, but everything is Yisurim. Mosquitoes annoying you this at night, Yisurim. Everything is, they're washing you off. That's why our sages say, Kabbalat Yisurim Bava, accept all these hardships with love, because Hashem is literally cleaning you. Now, of course, some people go through severe Yisurim, major things. People become religious, they lose their business, they lose things. Everything is Hashem's way of cleaning you off. Now you have to differentiate what's the Yisurim because I'm getting cleaned off, and what are the Yisurim, the suffering, because I'm doing all sorts of nonsense and I'm just getting a reaction. Because a lot of people go through different things, and then they look up to Shamayim and they complain to Hashem, why are you doing this? I'm such a good guy. I gave charity today. You know? The thing is, a lot of people say, oh, Hashem punishes me. Hashem doesn't punish you. Hashem doesn't do anything. He stands in the side and he's looking at you and he thinks you're a moron. That's what it is. That's what it is. Hashem doesn't punish you. Hashem is a good person. He's not a person, but Hashem is the ultimate good. So sometimes I will do an act. If I bang now the head at the wall, I'll get a headache. Is the wall punishing me? No. I did an act. Now there is a reaction. That's it. Take now a stone, throw it at a window, smash the window. The guy comes and tells you, I'm not upset at you, just fix the window. So you did an action, now there's a reaction. Go fix the window, you have to pay the damage. So I do a certain act, right away I get a reaction. It's very simple. And the reaction will come in all sorts of things that will annoy me. So I get a ticket, somebody bumps into my car, my phone falls in the toilet, all sorts of annoying things. And we have the chutzpah to look at Hashem and says, what are you doing? What am I doing? I'm not doing anything. You did something, now there's a reaction. That's it. That's how it works in this world. You do good, then the reaction will be good. Shlomo Malach says, Kamayim apanim el apanim. You know, you look in a mirror, whatever you're going to do, the mirror is going to reflect right back at you. You smile at the mirror, the guy in the mirror will smile at you. You frown at the guy in the mirror will frown at you. This is this world. You do something positive, you get a positive reaction. You do something negative, you get a negative reaction. It's very simple. So Hashem doesn't punish. You have to get that whole terminology to polish it. There's a reaction, there's a consequence. So the thing is that when it's little things, you get a reaction. But with karet, it's not so simple. Why? Because imagine you're taking two pieces of a rope and then you cut it in half. Now you have two pieces. Now what are you going to do? Now you have to tie them together. The good news is that the Zohar says that if you take two pieces, you take a rope, you cut it in half, now you have two pieces, now you have a problem. But when you tie them, in order for it to be strong, you make another knot, you kvetch it real good, now you have like this little bunkele. Now the power is even stronger. Because the connection is not like that, the connection is like much, much stronger. This is the advantage when a person really does tshuva and he fixes all the damages, then he's in a much higher level than what he was before to start with, and his level is so high, it says in the Gemara, in Masechet Sota, that when a person does real tshuva, what the Zohar calls it tshuva ila'a, a high level tshuva, then zdonot nefchot leschuyot. His sins become merits. So you take all your debts and you turn it into diamonds. That's the level of a Baal Tshuva. That's why it says, "Bemakom shebaalei tshuva amdim tzadikim gurim enam yecholim la'amod." Where a place where a Baal Tshuva stands, a complete tzadik cannot stand there. Of course, there's a joke that tzadikim say, yeah. It's not exactly like that. In the place where a Baal Tshuva omid stands, tzadikim la'cholim la'amod, and they continue to going. So, but the reality is, if you look in the Zohar, it says in Parashat Bereshit, in the Zohar, it says all the levels of Gan Eden, seven levels in Gan Eden. And just that you'll have a concept, I have a video online that I give all the description of all the levels. But just that you have the concept, in the fourth level are all the Harugei Malchut, all the souls that died on Kiddush Hashem. You know what a level that is? Rabbi Akiva. You know, the sages were begging Hashem to die on Kiddush Hashem. Begging. They understood the level of dying on sanctifying the name of Hashem. That's how high what's called the Harug Malchut, a martyr, I think that's how you translate it. Of course, in that level is also, you know, Tinokot Shel Bet Rabban, babies. But in the fifth level, above the Harugei Malchut, is the Baalei Tshuva. Can you imagine? Above Harug Malchut. But it's Baalei Tshuva, not the Chozrim B'Tshuva. There's two terms, there's Chozer B'Tshuva, there's Baal Tshuva. Chozer B'Tshuva, Chozer means to return. Chozer B'Tshuva means that he does Tshuva, a week later does the sin. A week later does Tshuva, does the sin, does the Tshuva. Does the sin come constantly, he goes back to the Tshuva, goes back to the sin. Chozer B'Tshuva, he's bouncing. Baal tshuva, Baal, comes from the term Baalim, owner. When you own a house, you are the Baalim, you are the owner of the house. Baal tshuva, he's the owner of the tshuva, that's it. That's it, he accomplished it, he reached the level of tshuva, that's it. No more, he's never going back to it again. That's a Baal tshuva. And in the sixth level in Gan Eden are standing the Hasidim, not the Hasidim from Borough Park with the Peot and the Shtreimel. Hasidim are the ones who are Mishem Mitchasedim Kono. A person does everything, how do you say it? Miflin Mushurat Adin. In English you say beyond the level of the law. That's how you say? That's Hasidim. Mishem Mitchasedim Kono. You don't have to do it, you do it. You know that according to the din, you don't have to wear tzitzit. Only if your garment has four corners, then you chayav betzitzit. But we still go with tzitzit all day long. Why? Because every second that I wear tzitzit, the clock is ticking. There's so many mitzvot that we don't really have to do, but we still do it. This is called Mifni Mishurat Adin. I really don't have to do this right now, but I am still doing it. So people, you see the people who go the extra mile, these are mamash the chassidim, that they do beyond what they're supposed to do. But a Baal Tshuva is a very high level, and in order to reach the level of Baal Tshuva, you have to perform on a very high level. There's a lower level Tshuva, it's called Tshuva Tata'a. That's how the Zohar calls it. Tshuva Tata'a, Tata'a means lower. Which means that I don't do the sin anymore, that's it, I didn't do it anymore. Which in itself is a high level, to stop the sin completely. And that's it, I just stopped. I just closed the how do you call it when the pipe explodes and you have a... No, you have a nezila. How do you say nezila?
A leak.
So you close the leak, that's it. But you put something on it. It's tshuva tata. You just stop the leak. You stop the problem. Now you have to do tshuva aliyah. You have to fix it. Now when it's simple sins, then you fix it pretty quick. But the sins of karet, the way to fix it, is that you have to go climb to such a high level. You have to climb to the level of the sfira of keter. Which means that you have to go through all the sefirot in your nefesh to reach to the highest level. That's why we read in Elul and Yom Kippur, Mima'amakim kraticha Hashem, from the depth I called you. Because you're all the way in the bottom and you have to reach all the way to the top. So there's many different ways how our sages tell us to fix it. If a person desecrated one Shabbat, now he has to keep two Shabbat in order to overpower it. You did one time the damage, now twice you have to do it better to rectify it.
How do you keep two Shabbat?
How do you keep two Shabbats? It's not so easy. First of all, you have to make sure that the rest of your life you really keep the Shabbat the right way. Now, there's a simple explanation. The simple explanation is that now I'm keeping Shabbat. But if I now bring you to my Shabbat table and now you're keeping Shabbat, now I have two Shabbats. Now, if you're now keeping Shabbat for the rest of your life, you're keeping Shabbat 15,000 times, I now have 15,000 Shabbats. So, this is a very simple explanation. It's not so easy, because a lot of people say, "What? Like, how many people I can bring for Shabbat?" So, when you make other people keep Shabbat, you help other people keep Shabbat, you explain people about, yeah, you're starting to fix it. Why they say Zikur Rabim is such a great mitzvah? Because you bringing all the debt back.
So you fix the impression?
Slowly, you fix it. Now another level of fixing it, when you talked about Shabbat, there's two levels in Shabbat. There's Shabbat Tata'a, Shabbat Tila'a. This is a concept from the Zohar. That's why it says that if the Jews will keep two Shabbatot, then right away Mashiach comes. So there's a contradiction in Chazal. It's not two Shabbatot. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says, no, it's Shabbat Tata'a and Shabbat Tila'a. It's one Shabbat. But there's two levels in the Shabbat. But anything that a person did is Avon Karet, he has to fix it twice, to make this knot again. The first knot, first of all, the person has to stop it. If you don't stop it, you're still in the chozer b'tshuva. You go like this, backwards and forth, constantly.
What does it mean to desecrate the Shabbat? Like, publicly, or like, by accident, you woke up, you
accident is something else. I'm talking about that you have to open the book, you have to open Shulchan Aruch, Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, any book that you can easily understand the halachot. You can understand the halachot in Shulchan Aruch. Open, there's so many books in our day with translations that they give you the basics. You have to keep Shabbat. There's 39 melachot in Shabbat, 39 jobs, so to say. Half of them have nothing to do with us, bichlal. But you have to go through all 39. There's one book that it gives you these melachot. I don't know how to translate melacha. Melacha is not a job. It's not an action. It's something that you do. avodah. It tells you
creating something new.
Yeah, it tells you things that relate to our generation. Shulchan Aruch is not going to tell you about a microwave and things that, you know, a cell phone. This book, he takes all the melachot and he explains it to you, things they have to do in our generation. Just read every day 10 alachot, learn the entire alachot for Shabbat, and you keep Shabbat exactly how you're supposed to keep it. Shabbat is the most powerful way to do the tikkun of karet. It's just Shabbat.
Okay, but how would you fix your brit twice?
With brit, first of all, brit is not so simple to fix. The brit doesn't matter if it's a man by himself or with a girlfriend or whatever. Brit is not easy at all. With brit, the only way that is the most powerful, not the only way, because there's other way, to fix the brit, the Arizal says, Kriyat Shema Lamita. That's why I told you I started beginning with Kriyat Shema Lamita. Because all the rest of the kretot, Pesach, okay, so 15 years, I ate chametz, that's it, I'm not eating any more chametz, I'm keeping the Pesach, this time I'm going to do it perfect, easily fix this karet. Same thing with Yom Kippur. That's it. I'm keeping Yom Kippur from now on. So I desecrated 15 Yom Kippurs. But Zot Hashem, Hashem will give me more years. I'll have 30 Yom Kippurs. That's it. I kind of balanced it. Shabbat, a little bit more, a little bit harder. The thing is that Shabbat itself, the fact that a person keeps Shabbat, that rectifies for the Chilul Shabbat. Just by you keeping Shabbat. Sleep for 24 hours, you balanced it out. And the more you add on Shabbat, the thing is Shabbat is so powerful, anything you do on Shabbat is 1,000 times more. If you learn now 1 hour during the day Torah, and then you learn on Shabbat 1 hour, the exact same thing is like 1,000 times more. Anything you do on Shabbat is 1,000 times more. So, you know, you're young, you don't have a family, you know what many people do? They don't talk on Shabbat. Tani dibo. They don't speak. Fish. Like this. You say Birkat Hamazon, you read Torah, you pray. How are you? You want some food? That's it. You want the salt? You like... Shabbat itself has the power to rectify the damage of Shabbat. The thing is that Chazal says, En kategor nesa senegor. The prosecutor cannot become the defense attorney. So if a person doesn't keep Yom Kippur, how can the Yom Kippur defend him? He desecrated Yom Kippur. If Shabbat is a defense attorney, if a person desecrates Shabbat, how will the Shabbat protect him? But the fact that the person keeps Shabbat 100%, it rectifies, it balances the karet of Shabbat. Brit comes already a problem. Now, the thing is with the brit, Shabbat you can calculate. Take 13 to 25, 28, whatever. Calculate how many Shabbatot. I know how many Shabbatot I desecrated. I know Yom Kippurim I desecrated. I know how many Pesachs I desecrated. I can do it. When I became religious, I made myself a chart. I calculated how many times I didn't put tefillin on. It was very simple. You take the days, you take the year, minus Shabbat, minus all the Yom Tov, minus Chol HaMoed, I got to the exact amount, how many times I didn't put tefillin on. Very simple. And why did I do that? You know why I did that? Because the problem with a positive mitzvah, with mitzvah taseh, versus a negative mitzvah, when you don't keep a negative mitzvah, the problem is the damage that you do is you just damage something that exists. Okay, you took a 10-pound hammer and you smashed a hole in the wall. That's it. You do tshuva, you clean the hole.
That's for a negative mitzvah.
You just did damage for something that exists. You know what's the power of a positive mitzvah when a person didn't say? A person didn't say kriyat shema one time in the day. He was a mevatel. He didn't do a positive mitzvah. You know what happened? He had the opportunity to bring godly light into the world, to get a sachar, to do something positive, and he missed the opportunity. That's it. He lost it. That's it. Never comes in. Never comes back. It's literally like calling your boss and telling him, today I don't want to come home. I don't want to come to work today. So the boss tells you, no problem. Take a day off, but you're not getting paid for this day. That's it. He's not punishing you. He's just telling you, you're not coming to work today. I can't pay you for this day. So if I didn't put tefillin on today, I had the opportunity to do something positive, to create something. When I do a mitzvah, in the spiritual term, what happens? I bring godly light into the world. This is called hamshacha. I pull down. I create a channel. I create what's called a tzinor. I make space and I bring Hashem down into this world. I bring godly light into this world, to my soul, everything. And I get a reward. The reward that I get is the mitzvah. Schar mitzvah, mitzvah. This is the reward I get. I don't get a check. Now, if I didn't do it, I'm missing something. I can never bring it again. That's it. That's it.
Well, you have to calculate.
Because I wanted to know exactly how many times I missed the mitzvah of tefillin. Why? Because now I have to fix it. Now, if I'm in a minus 5,000, today I'm doing tshuva and I'm starting to put tefillin on. So from this day on, I put tefillin on, then I'm good. But what about my minus? My minus, I have 5,000 times that I didn't put tefillin on. I have to rectify it. So you know what I do? Once a week, I go out to the street. You want to put tefillin on? You want to put tefillin on? You want to put tefillin on? I put five people tefillin on. That's it, off my balance.
Didn't you say that when somebody does tshuva, it erases the chataim?
No, that's tshuva ila. That's not a simple tshuva. But when I go now, and I convinced you to start putting tefillin on, I'm starting to add to my balance. And that's with everything, not even with tefillin. I just calculated how many times I didn't say tefillin. How many times I didn't say Kriyat Shema. How many times I didn't say all sorts of things, Birkat HaMazon. So now I have 20 people, guests in my table. I make you say Birkat HaMazon, you say Birkat HaMazon, you. I'm starting to fill up my balance. And anybody can do it. Don't look at me and say, oh, you do it. No, everybody can do it. You can also go now to the street, put tefillin on people. Find one man and convince him and explain to him what it means to put tefillin on. And if he starts putting tefillin on because of you, that's it. You start slowly, slowly filling it in. So with almost all the mitzvot, you can easily rectify. You can balance it. One of the main problems is exactly what you said, is brit. How are you going to fix it now? How am I going to fix this? Here comes the Arizal and says, oh, to fix the karet of brit, Kriyat Shema. Kriyat Shema Lamita. This is the tikkun.
Okay, but what is the kavanah that you're thinking? Why are you saying
Kriyat? When you say Kriyat Shema Lamita, your kavanah right now, that every word that comes out of your mouth, you're killing all these mashritim, and you fix the whole entire thing. Your kavanah, when you start saying it, you're saying, right now, I'm guarding my body. Right now, I'm doing tshuva. Right now, I'm doing tikkun to my sins. I'm doing now a tikkun. Now, most people, they come now home. What is it now? Midnight. Most people come home now. Oh, I'm tired. You know? No, you go home now and you say, okay, let me say 5 minutes. 10 minutes. Yeah.
Can that
say
in your bedroom?
You can say it almost wherever you want. But like I said before, since it's a prayer, you don't want to just say it in pajamas, like on the bed, like, you know. Like,
well, I say I'm in the clothes, I'm in yeah, right now, but
yeah,
in my bedroom.
Yeah. As long as there's no toilet in the bedroom, and the toilet, you close the door. The thing is like this. For a married man, it's not good to sit in the bedroom, because it's enough that his wife is in the room, and he looks at her, and he starts thinking what he wants to happen after, then he's not concentrating on what he's doing. But if you're by yourself, you're single, you sit in the room, you clear your mind, you take 5-10 minutes out of your life, because almost any person can find that they waste hours a day on nonsense. Instead of being 2 hours on Facebook, be 1 hour and 40 minutes and take 20 minutes to sit and do tshuva right before you go to sleep. And in your mind, say, okay, now I'm about to do this prayer. I'm about to surround my body now with guards, so my body will be safe. I'm going to do tshuva now. Maybe I owe somebody money. Maybe I said something wrong to somebody. Maybe I can apologize to something. Maybe I said a neder, and I have to do it because I'm going to forget. You know what it means, a neder? A vow? You know the severity of it? Most people just throw words in the air. People don't understand the severity of a neder, of a vow. That's why we say, blineder, I don't promise. You know what's the biggest problem? The ones who are standing in the shul on Shabbat. Who wants the Kohen? Pamaim chai, shalosh pamaim chai, 5 times chai. In the shul, they look very, very important when they raise the hand. If you don't pay that, that's a severe problem. That's a neder. You raised your hand and you said, pamaim chai. If you didn't pay for that, you're going to have a very serious problem. You know, there's so many examples with vows. People sometimes, they put money in the pushka, you know, but then they need the change. They take it out. They do all sorts of transferring. Once you put the money in the pushka, that's it, it's neder, you can't touch it. I vow that it goes to this organization. If it's a pushka that doesn't have names on it, that's something else, but you can use the money only for charity. But sometimes people put it in the charity, whatever it is, for the shul, for their organization they like, and then they move from one to the other. You're not allowed to do that. So yeah, we have to be very careful with our mouth. So what I'm saying is that on Kriyat Shema, yeah, you're doing tshuva. But the third thing you have in your mind, you're saying, okay, I now did so many averot, so many chilulim, so many times I desecrated my brit, now I have the opportunity with my mouth to annul it, to cut it. And you say it with tachanun and vidui. You don't take the shortcut. You do it the right way. The Arizal says that dafka when you say vidu, yashamnu, bagadnu, chatanu, and you take on yourself the four mitot bedin, you accept on yourself, that's when you do tikkun for dafka for avon abrit. If you look, not in all the nosachim they have it, the Arizal made the nosach that you accept on yourself arba mitot bedin, that you say, if I desecrated this avera, I take on myself the death of stoning, of skila. You're accepting the depths of the heavenly court. Then when you do vidui, vidui is not just saying Hashem Nubaganu. You have to understand that right now that I'm confessing for something that I did, you have to really internalize it. But the Rizal explains, this is the time you do tikkun, dafka for avon abrit. The thing is, when a person does a sin, he creates one malach, right? With the avon abrit, a person can create 100,000 like that in one shot. You have to kill them all. Part of the tshuva ila'a is also to kill them. Let's say a person now stopped. That's it, no more. I'm closing the shebel. That's it, nothing comes out anymore. But you still have these angels running around the universe. You have to kill them. So just by closing the tap, it doesn't kill them. You have to do tshuva. And the way to kill it is kriyat shema lamita. Now, why did I say before there was ladies there? Why did I say ladies also have to? They also have partnership in the sin. They also have to do kriyat shema. Now we know, according to halacha, any thing, any mitzvah that is bound by time, shazman garma, a woman is that she doesn't have to do it. That's why women they're not obligated in many things, but the kriyat shema ala mita, woman is obligated. A, she's obligated because when these four mashchitim come down to the world, they don't care, woman, man, they don't look at the gender. And women are not so holy that they all day long. They also have problems. So these mashchitim, they also have power over her. When a woman says kriyat shema, she also protects her neshama. But in regards to tikkun abrit, then you say kriyat shema alamita. Of course, there's other ways to do tikkun abrit. One of the things is Rabbi Nachman from Breslov. He did the tikkun haklali. Because you have to understand, imagine now, you look at a wall, but a very old wall, and it has a lot of cracks in it. So if you put plaster on the surface, you know, it looks nice and smooth, but the cracks are all the way in. Okay? When a person does these types of averot, the cracks, they go so deep, so he, Beruach HaKodesh, with these 10 capital of Tehillim, you're filling in all the cracks. You don't have to be Breslev to say Tikkun HaKlali. It's a very powerful, powerful combination. The thing is that with Dafka, with Avon Abrit, there's many Pugamim. The Pugam is in many, many levels. One of the damages that the Abrit does, it messes the brain. It damages the brain because the sperm comes from the brain. A lot of people think it comes from downstairs. The brain, the sperm comes from the brain. When the man gets aroused, he's cooking the semen in his brain, and it's actually sucking from all the parts of his body. It takes little pieces, sucks pieces from all parts of the body and brings it to the brain. Once the man is ready to shoot it out, it goes down on the spine, through the organ, and it shoots out. So the damage is in the spine and in the brain. The tikkun for that, you have to pray three times a day. Tefillat Shmona Esrei is the tikkun for the problem in the spine. You know, there's 18 vertebrae, how do you call it, vertebrae? So this is Keneged Shmona Esrei, the davening of Shmona Esrei. So this is tikkun for the damage you do in your spine. But for this brain, the damage, what's caused in the brain, is called mochin. That's why in our generation, the tikkun, starting from the Baal Shem Tov, is learning Chassidut. Hasidut fixes all the problems in the brain. That's how half of the people in our generation are. The tikkun, you have to do the tikkun for the body, you have to do tikkun for the nefesh, but you have to do also tikkun for the mochin, for the brain, that you do with learning Hasidut. Doesn't matter right now what, even Pnimiyut Torah, Zohar, but Hasidut is the medicine for our generation. You have to do the tikkun for the brain, but the main tikkun for the pgam, from the actual damage, that you do with Kriyat Shema Lamita, and you do it when you say Vidui, when you say Tachanun, on Shabbat and Yom Tov and Rosh Chodesh, you don't say Tachanun, because the power of the day, like I said in the beginning, is an auspicious time to do tshuva. The power of the day already fills in the gap, just by observing the day, the holiness of the day. But Kriyat Shema Lamita, this is the time that every day you do one step, another step, another step. Because all the rest of the kretot, it's not easy, but it can much easier be fixed. The only one that is a problem is all the tikkun abrit. So the power of Kriyat Shema Lamita, besides everything that I said before, this is the power. So I know it sounds very absurd, but you know, a lot of my students or men, they tell me, you know, it's very hard for me. I'm constantly failing in that department. I can't control it. So I know it sounds kind of ironic, but I tell them, even if you did fail, okay, fine, you do tshuva, but at least say Kriyat Shema Lamita that night. I know it sounds like what, I just did the sin, now you want me to... Yeah, you do tshuva right away. Yeah, go take a shower real quick. You can't say anything b'kedusha before you go to the mikveh. But, you know, I know one guy, he comes every time that Chas V'Shalom, he would fall in that department, he would drive to a mikveh in the middle of the night. There's some mikvehs around in New York. It's easy to find a mikveh in the middle of the night. He wants to go to the mikveh and say Kriyat Shema. At least go to sleep with tshuva. You're damaged here, at least fix it right away. So the thing is that in our generation, unfortunately, most of the men, they fail in this department. There's a reason for that. The Yetzer Hara, he knows his time is up. You know, Mashiach is coming any second. Mashiach can come. And when Mashiach comes, he's going to slaughter the Yetzer Hara. Mashiach shochetet Yetzer Hara. Shechita Kshera is going to be like Beit Yosef. Ve'ruach atumah avir min ha'aretz. That's it. No more Yetzer Hara. So the Yetzer Hara now is going very crazy. Each generation suffers from a different powerful Yetzer Hara. So 2,000 years ago, they had idol worship. If you're now looking at it, you're like, I don't know, what's the big deal? Looking at a statue, bowing to a statue? We don't relate to that. But imagine the te'ava, the desire that in our generation a man has to a woman or to something impure, that's the level of te'ava that they had for Avodah Zarah. It was like they couldn't control it for idol worship. But our generation, 2,000 years ago, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said that the ikveh de Meshicha, that the door, the generation of the Geula, that's what they're going to battle, the immorality. So all the generations already knew that's going to be our battle. So the Yetzer Hara is now going crazy. That's why you see that everything in this world can easily be turned over only to target that department. And it's very unfortunate, but most men in our generation, religious, not religious, doesn't matter, they're all, everybody. Not everybody, but I would say the majority of men, they're failing there. If a person will be able to be strong in Shmirat HaBrit, all the rest will come like that. All of his problems will be solved. This is the source of all the problems. And many, many tzaddikim, it's not that, you know, it's now a surprise to us. Even, you know, Rabbi Nachman says 250 years ago, this is going to be the problem with the generation. And he created the Tikkun HaBrit. You know, the Lubavitcher Rebbe in the 50s, in the 60s, doctors came and say it's very healthy for a man to ejaculate the sperm. That's what doctors said. They came to the Lubavitcher Rebbe. He says, "My Ishtagat, you lost it?"
That's what they said,
yeah,
in college.
They came to him in the 50s or 60s, I don't remember that, and he told them, "Are you out of your mind?" It does the complete opposite. It does the complete opposite. It does such damage to the body. Just does damage to the body. Lubavitcher Rebbe was very, very against it at the time. He went very strong against it. And then he's like, and he even then said, this is the act that Chas V'Shalom can lakev ta geula, stop the geula from coming. The thing is that it's a very powerful thing. That's why it's attacking everybody. Why? Because it knows that if, you know, the Brit, if you're looking at it, if you compare it to the Sefirot, the Brit is the Yesod. If you're looking at the structure of the Sefirot. And then, you know, in the Patach Eliyahu, in the Zohar, in the Tikkuni HaZohar, it says, you know, how the Sefirot are the shape of a human being. There's arms, there's a body, there's a legs. That's how we get our shape. Because in the spiritual structure, there's a shape of a human being. So it manifests down, so we have hands and legs and a head. So in this structure of the Sefirot, you know, the Yesod is where the our organ is. That's the Yesod is a foundation. That's the foundation for everything. Yesod Brit Kodesh. This is the covenant of holiness. So this is the most important thing for a man to guard it. If a man has to guard something, is this. A person guards that, all of his Avodat Hashem is already 10 times better. And the problem is, maybe we'll do another time, I'm leaving, but we should do a shiur about all the concepts. There's so many shiurim about that, but then nobody's touching the real important part of it. That first of all, it all starts from what you look at. All starts from Shmirat Ha'anayim, guarding your eyes. If a man will constantly guard his eyes, 90% of the time he's not going to come to that act. The problem is that most people don't guard their eyes. Now, you know, guarding of the eyes, first of all, guarding the eyes is also a mitzvah. You're not allowed to look at something. It's a severe sin. So when a person guards his eyes, he puts shades on his eyes, first of all, he doesn't see nothing. Our sages say, what our eyes see, then our heart wants. Alev chomed, his heart starts wanting it. And then the mind, his partner, starts cooking. Okay, how are we going to get it now? Partnership. So if a man is smart, he guards his eyes. Besides, the Arizal says that if you want to know the damage, the pain the soul gets when you look at the wrong place, take a needle and poke your eye. Okay? That's what the soul feels when you look at the wrong place. Take a needle, now poke your eye. That's what the neshama feels when you're looking at something impure. That's in itself a problem, but when a person doesn't guard his holiness, his kedusha, slowly he goes to the side of unholiness. And the most severe part of it is when he comes and desecrates the brit. He demolishes the yesod, the foundation. Everything, you build now a building. If the foundation is not strong, the building will collapse. When a person damages the yesod, the foundation, the whole structure collapses. So, you know, the Zohar is the most extreme about it. Half the Zohar is just talking about the Brit. What it does, how it does, why it does, what to do, everything. Half the Zohar is just talking about the severity of the Brit. So we're not going to do it, we're not doing a shiur now about the severity of it. I'm assuming that most of you already heard it many times, how severe it is. But now we're trying to see how we can already fix it. So part of the fixing, there's many different things. First of all, it's not doing it. Second of all, is, you know, you have to load as much as Kedusha as possible. And many little different things. But the main thing, this is what the Arizal says. It's not that I'm inventing something. I'm reading from the book and I'm giving it to you. The Arizal says that the most powerful time to fix the Avon HaBrit is in doing Kriyat Shema Al Amita. He gives an example that how does a person really does finalize his tshuva. Huh? Hashem brings him back to the same situation, has the opportunity to repeat the sin. And if he doesn't, then he kind of finalizes his tshuva. Now what happens when you in something with this type of sin? How many times can you come to the same opportunity and not do it? But all day long, you're going to come to opportunities? So first of all, yes. Because every day you walk in the street, you have the opportunity to every second take your eyes up, take your eyes down. Every time you open the computer, shut down what you don't need to see. So you have the opportunity to constantly return to the same time, to the same opportunity, and not to do it. This is when you really seal the tshuva. But the Arizal says that, how do you do it? You can't really do it over and over and over. Again, going back, just to Kriyat Shema Al Amita. Not anything else. Everything else also helps. But a man wants to really fix that karet, because the problem is that, especially in our generation, that's the main part, that's the main thing that most people get, they fail in karet. If a person still doesn't keep Shabbat, he has to start keeping Shabbat. The person, Pesach and Yom Kippur is easy. It's very easy not to eat chametz for the whole week. You sell your chametz to a non-Jew. Pesach is very, very easy. You, like that, you do it. Yom Kippur also, 24 hours, you shut your mouth. Big deal. Most people, even the non-religious people, they keep Yom Kippur. So you got these two out of the way. Shabbat is a little bit a harder one, but it's also doable.
Those are the only karets that apply to us?
They apply to us. Because half the other karetot has to do with everything that has to do with the sacrifices. Eating from the sacrifices that is called kodshim, eating the chilev, the fat from the inside. There's all sorts of things. There's nothing to do with us. We don't do that. The ones that relate to us is mainly circumcision, which circumcision is the Shmirat Abrit. And then Shabbat, and then Yom Kippur, and then Pesach, and all the forbidden relations. You have to understand that most people in this world are failing in the forbidden relations. A man and a woman that are not married according to the law, Kedat Moshe b'Israel, every time they're together, they're doing a sin. You know how many couples in the United States, there was a reform rabbi or a woman that did the ceremony, there wasn't kosher witnesses, the ketubah is not kosher, these people, they're married, and every time they're together, they're doing a sin. Every time. You know how many women in America, in the world, that are Jewish, they don't go to the mikveh? They all the time nida. They're all the time impure. Every time the husband is with her, avon karet. It's a husband. He's not cheating on her. You know how many couples I remarried? Because they were like, yeah, I got married 20 years ago. You know, the rabbi was a woman. There wasn't witnesses. There wasn't, it wasn't done right. Okay, go to the rabbanut now. We have to get remarried. Up until now, everything was done not so good. So there's a lot of problems, especially in our generation. But a person can fail in that department, can be a very honest person. Yeah, but with his wife. Or a man now, look at any secular single man that goes every night or every week to a club, hooks up with a woman every time. Ta 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 ta. You don't have to do it with yourself. Our problem in our generation that men just, you know, they save the money on the club, they just stay at home. So, it's sad, but that's the reality. The problem is that all the rest of the stuff is much easier, let's call it. But dafka, the forbidden relation, it's not only when a man is, you know, looking at the computer or movie or whatever. That's one thing. But also a man with a woman. Man goes now with a woman that she's not Jewish, not his wife. Let's say she's also, okay, let's say she is Jewish, then she's nida. A person can do in one act, three kretot. So, and you have to understand, a lot of people say, okay, if one time it got cut off, so that's it, it's cut off. No, it's not exactly like that. First of all, you have so many layers. Second of all, again, this is a spiritual thing. This is not a physical thing that you cut it off. It has, you know, like, look at a tree now. Cut the tree off. You see the rings in the tree, right? You ever saw that? It can actually, the rings tell you how old the tree is. But the same thing, you have all these rings. Same thing with the nefesh. The nefesh has so many layers, let's call it. So, going back to what we were talking, that Kriyat Shema, Alamita. First of all, Kriyat Shema for Arvit, you have the power to at least control and be protected from these four mashritim. Just by saying Kriyat Shema, you're totally in control of all the impure powers in the world. The same way that the darkness comes down to the world physically, it also comes spiritually. That's anything that happens in this world is because it happened in the spiritual level. But more than that, at night, you know, at night, if you would see what's going on around your bed, you wouldn't want to wake up even. Especially when a person did a lot of sins that day. So the thing is that Kriyat Shema L'Amita, you have the time to actually rectify, to fix it. And you don't do it, like you don't zoom through it. And other people say, okay, I only will say Kriyat Shema. Just Shema Yisrael Hashem HaKadosh Hashem Echad. No, you have to say the whole thing. Whatever the Siddur says, from beginning to end, it'll take you 10 minutes, it'll take you 10 minutes. But you have to do it. You have to do it also with Tachnun and Vidui. We have to say three times a day Tachnun and Vidui. Shacharit, Mincha, and Kriyat Shema Lamita. Of course, on Yom Shabbat, you don't say, you have to learn the halachot in it, and what to say and what to not to say, because on Yom Shabbat, you don't say a lot of the parts in it. On Yom Tavim, and holidays, and Rosh Chodesh, Motzei Shabbat, only if it's still Chatzot. If you're already saying Kriyat Shema at 2 o'clock in the morning, then you already have to say Kvar Tachanun. If you're saying Kriyat Shema or Motzei Shabbat and it's 11 o'clock at night, fine. But once it hits Chatzot, you have to look at a calendar, because Chatzot is not midnight. It's usually like 1:15 in the morning. Then you, but if you sit at the 2 in the morning and go to sleep late, then you already have to say Tachanun. But to sum up the shiur, what we need to take from it is that the power of Kriyat Shema Lamita is so powerful, and it's the same thing for women and men. It's not that women are different than men. Even in Avon HaBrit, women have a lot of responsibility to that. First of all, when a man and a woman are together, the woman is 50% here. She also has part of it. The problem with women in our days is when they go very, very not modest on the street, and 10 men looking at them, and these 10 men make a sin, so that each man has one sin, and the woman has 10 sins. So women are sometimes in bigger trouble. That's why our sages say even a woman has to say Kriyat Shema Lamita. She has to also do tikkun. She also have a part in it. But what you need to take out from this shiur is, first of all, besides understanding the severity of the karet, is to understand the importance of the fixing of it, which is in Kriyat Shema Lamita. If you have to miss something at night, that in the day, at least don't miss Kriyat Shema Lamita.
If you went to sleep without saying it,
then it's not so good.
Can you make it up in the morning?
The thing is, in regards to the tikkun, say it in the morning. But in regards to the guarding during the night, then you missed it. But I asked my rabbi, he told me, even if you missed it at night, you say it in the morning. It's a tikkun. Tikkun is to fix.
You say the tachron in the morning?
Say the whole thing. The only thing you don't say is amapil. Amapil chavleshena l'nayot malafapai. You don't say that because you're not going to sleep. But the entire thing is mamash a tikkun. It's a.
You say amapil, but then you're still awake. You're reading a book, let's say, before you go to sleep. But you already said.
No. So that's why Kriyat Shema, you say it at the end of the day. That's why our sages say that you have to say it samuch lamita. Samuch is not close to the bed, it's right before you go to bed. You can't just read Kriyat Shema lamita and then go watch a movie. The thing is like this. This is what my rabbi told me. If you're dead tired, and you know that if you're going to push the Kriyat Shema all the way towards the end, and there's a good chance you'll fall asleep and crash, then say Kriyat Shema half an hour before you go to bed. Just make sure you're saying it. So, but he told me this in the regards that I sleep 2-3 hours a day, every day, during the week. Every day I come home, 2-3 in the morning. I sleep 2-3 hours a night. Comes Shabbat, I'm already like, half asleep. So I told him, what is better? That's how I asked him. I told him, what is better? To say Kriyat Shema dressed, but an hour before I go to bed, or to say Kriyat Shema with my pajamas very close to the time that I'm sleeping, but there's also the chance that I'm going to crash. You know how many times on Shabbat, I sit in the Shabbat table and I'm like, tired. So he told me, if you know you're going to crash, say Kriyat Shema even if it's an hour before you go to bed.
Just make sure you say it.
Same thing with Birkat HaMazon. You know how many people, they on Shabbat meal, they don't say Birkat HaMazon. They sleep, they fall asleep, they forget. It's very easy to wash, but to remember to say Birkat HaMazon, a lot of people forget. Or then 72 hours pass, you can't say it anymore. So, excuse me?
Minutes or hours?
72 minutes, sorry. Thank you. But with Kriyat Shema Lamita, my rabbi told me, even if it's an hour before you go to bed, make sure you say it. It's more important to say it an hour before you go to bed than to miss it.
With Hamapil?
No, without Hamapil you have to say, see, here comes a problem that a lot of the Nosach, they say the Hamapil Ba'atchala, in the beginning.
And my sitter says that I could say Hamapil without Hashem's name.
Exactly. And then after when you got ready to go to bed, then you say with Hashem's name. But you
say it again with Hashem's name?
Just the bracha. But the thing is, it's not a long, it's just the paragraph.
There's one paragraph.
Yeah, so you say that.
So I say that again.
No. Yeah. The best way to do it is you say Kriyat Shema Lamita, and that's it. You finish your day. That's the best thing to do. But again, if you're going to come home and you're saying, let me just say it now because I'm sharp, I'm awake, then I'll go take a shower. Then I'll put my pajama on, then I'll relax, maybe, you know. Again, it's better not to do anything, not to drink, not to eat, not to talk. You say, catch my, go to bed, you finish the day. But again, if you have to weigh the what's more important, saying it and or not saying it and falling asleep, then say it half an hour before and eat something, drink something, whatever. It's not the best, but it's better than not saying it at all. But you want to make sure that you're doing every day. It's a very powerful tikkun. And this is a tikkun for the nefesh. You see in many different things that we read all sorts of tikkunim. Tikkun is to fix. Like we said, tikkun haklali. It's fixing. We're at the holiday of Shavuot. We read tikkun lil Shavuot. Tikkun is when you fix something. Kriyat Shema L'Amitah is called the tikkun. And this tikkun is mainly for the Avon of Karet. And Karet is a very... Even the Pesach, the Passover, and Yom Kippur, and Shabbat is also not easy to fix. In order to fix it, besides the many little remedies that we hear when we read from many different places, the concept that you have to understand that the rope got cut off, now you have to tie it, and you have to tie it again. Once you tie it again, that's it, it's strong, it doesn't have the impression anymore. On the contrary, you have this little ball there. But in order to do that, you have to do double the knot. Double the knot is, like I said before, lifni mishurat adin, beyond the letter of the law. You have to do much more extra. That's why the tshuva, if a person does a very low tshuva, it's all tshuva tata. Okay, he...
How do you know if you do a high tshuva or low tshuva?
You know. First of all, when you do tshuva, you have to have a rabbi guiding you. The Torah tells you, "Asel echaravi selek min asafek." Make yourself a rabbi, because you don't know what you're doing. You have to have a guide that tells you what to do. You have to have a rabbi. But the thing is, if I'm going to come now and tell you, listen, I want you to work for me, and I'm willing to give you $1 million a year. You want the job? Okay. But there's one condition. The plant is in Brazil. I need you to learn Portuguese. Go to the school, learn half a year Portuguese. I need you to learn how to talk, write, and read. You're going to go there like a ninja to do that. Why? Because I'm giving you $1 million a year. You see the benefit in here. So if I want now to be Eved Hashem, the worker of Hashem, Hashem tells me, go to yeshiva for half a year, for a year, learn. Learn the language. Learn how to speak. Learn how to read. Learn how to write. Learn the language. Now you have tools. Go out to the world, do whatever you need to do. So if I choose to be the servant of God, I have to learn the deal. I have to. You can't become religious by watching videos on YouTube. You can't. I met this guy not too long ago. He told me, last couple of months, I'm very, very, I'm getting stronger and this and like this. And I told him, it's amazing. Where do you learn? So he tells me, I don't really learn, but, I watch videos on YouTube. I told him, YouTube is not a yeshiva. YouTube, you watch videos, when you're working, you want to watch something once a day, you want to learn a shiur, it's hard for you to get. That's very nice. I also put videos on YouTube. You need to sit in the yeshiva with a book, with a rabbi, with a chavruta. You have to learn. This is, videos are very good. Videos is when you're sitting and working, or you're driving in the car, or whatever. You kill time. You see a shiur. Or it's hard for you to get to a yeshiva. You designate an hour a day that you sit like this in front of the computer. I'll tell you what's the problem with watching videos on YouTube and Torah anytime. Because you're watching it in the machine that brings the temptation. So I know so many people, they watch the hour of the class is over. Okay, let me just check this site here, over here. Let me just go see here what's the news. Somebody sent me a message on YouTube, on the Facebook, and after the Torah class, everything. So, that's the problem with a lot of people, that they go and watch Torah classes on the machine that brings them into the situation that they feel. So if a person has 100% control of the environment, fine. Keep the machine. Keep the phone, keep the computer, fine. If you can't control yourself, then don't put yourself in this situation. This is the Yetzirah telling you, fine. Go watch a movie. Go watch a shiur now. Yeah. Learn Torah now. Learn 2 hours. Yeah. And when you're done with the 2 hours, since you're already here, why don't you check this site and that site? And yeah. So, You have to be smart. You can't let the Yetzirah, trick you. So YouTube is good. Torah Anytime is good. I also put videos online. You see every lecture I video. Why? Because I want people to see it. But you want to learn Torah, you have to go to yeshiva. Doesn't matter who you are, how old you are, business, not business, student, doesn't matter. You can go to yeshiva 2 hours a day, you can go to yeshiva 12 hours a day. But real to learn Torah is in a yeshiva where it's holy, where there's books, where your phone is on silent or the phone even is off. And you learn with a rav, you learn with a chavruta, you learn in a group. This is also beautiful. But you want the $1 million job? Guarantee you're going to go to learn the language. So I want to be the servant of God. I got to learn the language here. So that's how you asked before, how do I know how to keep Shabbat? Yeah, you go to yeshiva and you learn it. How do I do this? You go to yeshiva, you learn it. You can't, a person, you can't do 50-50. Now I know it's very committing, but if you're looking at the end result, hey, I'm looking here at my eternity. This is my eternity. This is not a job. I want to be a God-fearing Jew. I need to know what to do here. I'm going to get married one day. My wife is going to ask me questions. Oh, I mixed it. I put the spoon here. I put the, by mistake, I poured the milk in that bowl. What do I do? What are you going to look at your wife like? Call the rabbi. Okay, so a lot of people, it's fine also to call the rabbi, but you need to know what to do. Your son comes and tells you something. You need to know what to do. So the thing is that when you're looking at the end result, you're looking at your eternal life. You say, this is not a part-time job. I need to know what to do here. So, yeah, you take time out of your day and you learn. I have a lot of friends, they're businessmen, they have multi-million dollar companies. They learn 2 hours a day, 3 hours a day. There's no excuses. There's no such a thing. People tell me, I don't have time. There's no such thing. There's no such a thing that a man can say, I don't have time. Guarantee you can find easily 2 hours a day to learn Torah. And if you learn less than 2 hours a day Torah, this is not meat. It's not enough to get you going. If a person will put a priority to learn 2 hours a day Torah, most likely half of his problems in regards to his Yetzirah will be somehow under control. Because his mind is not constantly on nonsense. His mind is, what the sugya I learned in the Gemara 2 hours ago. And how amazing the story he learned, whatever. So the thing is that one needs to take it serious. It's not a joke. So I don't know how we sidetrack to that, but the fact is that the fact you already got to the point that you understand what's going on, you have to know how to deal with it.